probably not clean.
Yeah.
My worry is, like, you know, around the sink in the bathroom, did he shave and then just not even register that, you know, should...
clean that back up.
Yeah. Love him to death, but he and I have two very different versions of a clean house. And then, you know, sometimes, like, my parents are going to come stay with us, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to, oh gosh, I should probably shut up, huh?
Yep, exactly. It was just, oh, yeah. Here we go. Good afternoon. Welcome to Agriculture Today on the Red River Farm Network, Thursday, November the 3rd. I'm Randy Conan. Grain markets continue to trade lightly mixed in the wheat. We are lower in the soybeans and corn market here today. Corn futures right now down 5-6 cents here, with the trade setting back to the lower end of its recent trading range. Outside market pressure and very little other fresh news for this market to trade on. Harvest expected to continue to make good progress, pushing toward the home stretch, and some fall fertilizer application underway as well. Daily export wire remaining quiet. Weekly sales remaining soft at 372,000 metric tons. Soybean futures, 13 to 16 cents lower here at midday, with the trade fading back from highs as we look to consolidate gains after the midweek rally. Very little fresh bullish news for the soybean market to trade on as well. Weekly export sales disappointing for soybeans, 830,000 metric tons. Expecting to see an increasing focus on South America's weather moving forward, along with focus on any short-term shipping disruptions. Wheat futures right now trading anywhere from 3 lower to 3 higher here at midday. Kansas City wheat's been leading the action here from back from the early lows, with the dollar strength limiting any upside potential here in this wheat market. Fresh political developments will be watched in Ukraine as well. Weekly export sales a little better for wheat, 348,000 metric tons. And the plains continues to look dry short-term, at least for the next week. Argentina continuing to struggle with dryness as well, and that over the next week as well. AgriSampo North America Chief Analyst Sterling Smith says the grain trade just kind of back to their hand-to-mouth type of trading.
Basically, we saw it was kind of like somebody in Russia had their own trading account and a Twitter account. They take the deal away, prices rally a couple of days, they put it back, and we're right back to where we were before, and the market is back again to this hand-to-mouth sort of choppiness and kind of recovering from the last 2 days' volatility. Export inspections remain sloppy. Export sales for everything except cotton today were not very good. They were past marginal for soybeans, but everything else remains a bit of a struggle.
And the livestock market's been pretty quiet.
You know, up a few ticks one way, down a few ticks. We saw a little bit of cattle go off in Texas at 149, but it wasn't the best stuff. Saw some pretty good trade in Iowa at the 153 to 155 level. Dressed values stay strong, but we're still caught in a bit of a standoff. Packers are not showing much of a willingness to pay up. Cutouts have improved noticeably over the last couple of weeks for both choice and select, but yet there hasn't been anything to inspire any big movement where Packers are willing to come up, you know, come in and pay up and kind of drive the futures. So right now the futures are trading just under cash and just kind of chopping around with not a lot of big drivers at the moment.
Cash cattle market seeing some light trade developing in parts of the southern plains at midday. Live deals are being marked at 150, which is fully steady with last week's weighted average. And so far, just a few scattered bids being noted as far as the northern plains go and the dress business there. Asking prices 151, 152 live, 244, 245 dressed. Some light scattered trade was reported by the mandatory reporting system yesterday, with live deals in Texas marked at 149. Just a few dress sales in Nebraska being reported at 242 and 243. Cutouts higher at midday with light to moderate box movement. The choice $1.51 higher at $264.98. The select 53 cents higher at $233.69. Choice select spread $31.29. Just 60 loads here today. The Iowa Southern Minnesota Direct Hog trade 10 cents higher today. Weighted average price $88.81. Looking at the futures numbers, December wheat in Minneapolis is down 3.5 cents, 9.45¾. March down a penny and a half at 9.59. Chicago December wheat down 3 at 8.43. Kansas City December wheat 3¼ cents higher at 9.43½. December corn down 6.5 cents at 6.80¾. March corn's down 6¼ at 6.86½. January soybeans down 13¾ at 14.40¼. March beans down 14¼, 14.47¼. January canola, 270 a metric ton higher. This is the Red River Farm Network.
At CHS, they create connections to empower agriculture. As a global agribusiness owned by farmers, CHS connects farmers and ranchers with consumers around the world. CHS provides essential energy, seed and agronomy inputs, markets grain, and produces value-added food and food ingredients. CHS helps strengthen hometown communities and support programs that develop the next generation of leaders. Learn more at chsinc.com.
No one knows the ins and outs of your operation like you. That's why every decision you make is about what's best for your crops. But your first decision goes beyond the seed. And when you grow Allegiance Seed, you get a partner that raises every crop with you, from planting to planting to harvest. With decisions backed by data and CHS agronomists who know your operation almost as well as you, you can grow more ways than one. Allegiance Seed by CHS. For farmers, by farmers.
This is Corn Matters, an update from the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. Minnesota Corn Growers Association President Richard Severson is our guest. Richard, Minn Ag Expo is coming up.
Registration is now open. The event is going to be January 18th and 19th at the Mayo Clinic Health System Event Center in Mankato. Minn Ag Expo is free, but growers are asked to register in advance so that we can plan properly. Now through January 6th, you can register online at minnagexpo.com. The event this year will include learning sessions focused on carbon credits, nitrogen, state regulations, and the 2023 Farm Bill. Come and meet with and interact with researchers that are discovering new uses for corn. Meet your Minnesota Corn Board and council members at our booth in the trade show, and network with other agriculture producers and ag professionals from all over the state. You can find all the details, including the schedules, at minnagexpo.com. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone in Mankato for Minn Ag Expo on January 18 and 19.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline presented by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and by Pivot Bio. Farmers in the Devil's Lake Basin wrapping up their harvest. JS Consulting owner Jason Hodes says harvest really getting down to the end.
Handful of cornfields left and maybe an odd bean field here and there, but for the most part, everybody's wrapping up or is wrapped up here in the last 3-4 days. We kind of just got going on the fall fertilizer. It's been spotty. We've been so dry. Certain areas have been able to fertilize and other areas we've been holding off, looking for a little moisture before we get too crazy with the fall fertilizer, but there is a little bit going on, just a very little, though.
And Hodes's yields were good, considering when these crops got planted.
Ball grain-wise, barley was real good. Wheat was average to slightly above. Canola was kind of all over the board, depending upon, if we had some fields with tight rotations where we got some Brasilium in there. And then we, had some stuff that without the disease pressure that was phenomenal canola, some of the better canola we've ever had on some stuff.
Harvest is wrapping up in the Midwest with farmers safely storing their grain in bins. NDSU Extension Ag Engineer Ken Hellevang says soybeans came off almost too moist this year.
Most of the beans are in storage. The unfortunate thing this year was harvest was almost too favorable. And so a lot of guys maybe with moisture contents of 8-9% moisture, they will store very well at that point, but we're giving up some weight, and that of course then translates to dollars lost. So getting a fair amount of interest in guys wondering if they can run the fans during humid weather conditions to add some weight back to that bin of soybeans.
Hellevang reminds farmers to not forget about their small grains.
We've had a very, very good harvest. Our small grains were harvested under fairly warm temperatures, so we need to be cooling that stored grain as fall temperatures cool down. And so when we look at quote an average or typical November, we're looking at temperatures that are closer to maybe 30 degrees, and we need to be bringing the temperature of our stored grain down. I roughly say we see a doubling in the allowable storage time for each 10 degrees that we cool the grain.
The current U.S. drought monitor shows considerable expansion of drought. All of North Dakota is now in some form of drought, with most of the state sitting at moderate to severe drought. The southeast corner of the state has rapidly progressed to severe drought, stretching from McLean County east to the Minnesota border and down to South Dakota. South Dakota's moderate drought increased by 19%, and severe drought conditions across the state jumped 12% compared to last week. Most notably, though, was the southeast corner of Yankton and Clay County that received moisture and improved from exceptional to extreme drought. Minnesota remains mostly unchanged, with slight progression in areas to moderate drought.
North Dakota Agriculture Weather Network Director Daryl Richeson says the Midwest has been creeping into drought since early this summer.
You know, really since June 1st, you know, the area has just gradually dried out because we were living off the spring rains for a very long time. But there's so many parts of the state that have gotten very little moisture since then. So it's been really 5 months going on. You know, there's been pockets with the thunderstorms. So not necessarily every spot is getting quite dry, but certainly it's the general trend for not only North Dakota, but much of Minnesota, South Dakota, and Montana that we just really haven't gotten the rains. The only spot that's gotten any good rains lately was that rain snow system up in the northwest corner of North Dakota that occurred about 10 days ago.
And Richeson says the million-dollar question is whether or not we catch any more fall rains.
There has been a number of things that were capable of producing rain that have been nearby that just hasn't really hit our area, but they just don't look to be tracking in areas that would probably favor too many folks. And I think perhaps the best area to get moisture of any consequence might be northwestern North Dakota, which in many ways already has, you know, had a plenty of rainfall. But, you know, these storms may, you know, shift a little bit. But I've been telling everyone who's asked me this question, it does not look favorable at all before we get freeze up.
And that's Harvest Hotline, presented by Pivot Bio, Amity Technology, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill.
Less than 1 week remains before the 2022 election, set to take place next Tuesday. Policy Solutions President Jay Truitt says this year the rural voters could shape the election.
The reality is if rural America will decide probably something like maybe 35 or 40 House seats, three or four key governor's races, and at least three or four of these Senate races that are going to be really competitive and really tough. And people like to put us in different categories of race and gender and economic status, et cetera, et cetera. But the big break point this time is going to be between rural and urban America.
With rivers being almost inoperable for transport and high input costs, Truitt says fuel costs are a big priority in Washington. He says this election will determine how input costs for agriculture are dealt with.
Fertilizer, crop protection products, et cetera, is a huge factor in whether or not the core of the United States economy, which is still agriculture, whether we like it or not, and its secondary core, which is energy, are going to be able to pull the country back up out of kind of a troubled state, or whether we're going to go down with it. And that's what this election is about.
Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
This is your weekly update from the Minnesota Wheat Research and Promotion Council. Vice President of Operations Corrine Burdahl has a preview of Prairie Grains, December 7th and 8th in Grand Forks.
Paul Gertis, who is a Nutrient Director of Sales for CHS, is going to talk about prepay landscape and price volatility and supply risk and logistics. Mark Jerick from the Northern Crops Institute is going to talk about the next 5 years and give a little bit of geopolitics, what that looks like. And then Daryl Richeson is going to end our program at 1 o'clock, giving you that weather outlook that we always look forward to. Something different this year is we're really focusing on pre-registration. With rising food costs, we're doing meal tickets this year, so it's important for folks to register prior to November 22nd to get in on those meal tickets. Of course, walk-ins are welcome. You can register at any time up through the conference, but the sooner you register, the sooner you can guarantee those meal tickets. You can register at www.mnwheat.org.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Feds announced another three-quarters interest rate increase yesterday. Kansas State University Agriculture Economics Professor Glenn Tonser says the Feds are still determining where they're working to bring inflation down to.
So as interest rates in our economy in general go up, that increases borrowing cost for somebody that maybe has a operating loan, and the, you know, the cost of renewing that in the future is going to be higher than it was in the past, mainly because the interest rate behind those loans is going up. So all else equal is a famous economist term that's used, is when that occurs, we actually will have fewer loans, right? So not everybody is going to pull the trigger on renewing. You know, reading between the lines, that's part of the intent, because one of the reasons interest rates are going up is the Federal Reserve is on record saying they're trying to get inflation back down towards their targeted goal, whether that's 2% or closer to 4% is all to be determined.
Tonser says where interest rate increases stop is still undetermined.
So I don't have an excellent crystal ball on where, you know, interest rates are going tomorrow and 6 months from now and so forth. But the current expectation from many in the market would be that interest rates indeed are going to continue to go up, maybe 1%, maybe even 2% higher than they are today. And then the debate becomes, you know, early in 2023, will we have this quote-unquote pause and pivot? So anybody watches the Federal Reserve announcements and the stock market reactions and so forth, it's all honing in on basically, will there be commentary about a pause and pivot? Well, that's code for will we stop increasing and potentially will we pivot and start reducing those rates? Sitting here today, that's not happening in the near future.
USDA's weekly beef export sales report for the week ending October 27th showed net beef export sales at 9,000 metric tons, primarily for Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. Shipments of 18,000 tons went to South Korea, Japan, China, Mexico, and Taiwan. Net pork sales at 48,000 metric tons, primarily to Mexico, China, Japan, and Canada. Pork shipments of 31,000 tons went to Mexico, China, Japan, South Korea, and Canada.
Just west of the Missouri River in South Dakota sits prime cattle country. Fort Pierre Livestock owner-operator Brian Hansen says they're smack dab in the middle of a big feeder cattle push.
Through October, we've had calf and yearling sales every Friday, and then we do black-headed calf specials as advertised on Wednesdays. And yesterday was our last Wednesday sale. We will just be feeder cattle on Fridays from here on out, and of course, way up cows and bred cattle throughout the rest of the year, and of course, after the first of the year as well. But there's a lot of calves move out of this country. A lot of the territory that we cover here at Fort Pierre is ranch country. They don't really raise much for feed as far as backgrounding cattle, so the majority of the guys actually wean the calves and sell them that day, just come straight off the cow and send them to market.
Hansen expects to see higher feeder numbers through November, with wean calf sales starting up in December. Demand has been good, especially for replacement heifers.
You know, the feed price, of course, always affects the demand, and you see the feed prices go up and down. It affects the price on these feeder cattle as well. It looks like there's been some demand on replacement quality heifers, which is kind of needed. because we've had a huge liquidation of mother cows over the last 2 years, really, with the drought conditions, not only across South Dakota, but North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, and parts of Nebraska and parts of Colorado as well have had huge liquidations over the past 20 to 24 months. So as we do start to rebuild some feed supplies, darn sure going to need to replenish some mother cows back into some of these ranches.
USDA's weekly export sales report shows corn export sales of 372,000 metric tons. That is 40% more than the previous week and 35% more than the four-week average. Soybean export sales of 830,000 tons are down 19% from the previous week and 31% less than the four-week average. Wheat export sales of 348,000 tons are down 34% from the previous week, but 22% more than the four-week average.
Rotational grazing is more common in the Northern Plains and Appalachian regions. A new study from USDA's Economic Research Service found 40% of cow-calf operations nationwide use rotational grazing. Cattle operations that retain most of their calves for the individual feeder stage are most likely to adopt intensive rotational grazing. Research found the most basic grazing system relatively simple with five or fewer paddocks. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
This is Transformation. Farm prices are high, but so are input costs. David Hess says the Transformation Program is a free confidential resource available to farmers dealing with financial problems. The farm advocate may see some options not seen by the farmer.
Oh, yes. That's happened many a time before where we've been able to end up coming up with an option that he hadn't seen. He's just looking at present right now exactly what he's being faced with and not expanding beyond that. That's the importance of the conferences that we end up having. One I'm thinking of right now, they were able to end up coming up with a new lender that was willing to take them on.
Visit the Minnesota Department of Agriculture website for more information on the Farm Advocate Program. You can hear this entire conversation on the podcast tab at rrfn.com.
Find your next job on the Red River Farm Network website. Click on the Job Opportunities tab and discover your future.
If you're a mechanic, Ellingson Companies has a position open for you. True North Equipment has opportunities for a service solution specialist. Resource Auction of Grand Forks and the North Dakota Farmers Union also have jobs posted. Find all the details on the Job Opportunities in Agriculture tab on the Red River Farm Network website. That's rrfn.com.
The Red River Farm Network introduces the latest addition to our team of farm broadcasters. Listen for Whitney Pittman as she joins Don Wick, Randy Conan, and Sierra Doctor in reporting agriculture's business. 90 minutes of farm programs each weekday, four farm broadcasters, and one ag meteorologist. When you check out the numbers, it's easy to see why your number one choice for farm news, markets, and weather is the Red River Farm Network. And we're reporting agriculture's business.
This week on Ag Week TV,
we're at a small town butcher shop that is partnering with a college meat processing program.
We'll discuss the Mississippi River's challenging barge season, and the region faces some new pests for the first time.
Weather conditions across the northern plains will become a little bit more unsettled as we move forward through the weekend into next week, and the temperatures will gradually turn colder. I'm meteorologist Drew Lerner for the Red River Farm Network. We've had some significant snow in the last 24 hours in parts of western Canada's prairies, and a new disturbance will likely push across our region as we go forward through the afternoon and into the evening, but we're not expecting that to generate much precipitation, although by tomorrow morning we will have seen some rain and a little bit of wet snow for a brief period of time in the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota. That'll be followed by another storm system of larger size that will impact the Canadian prairies once again as we go forward into the weekend, and a part of that system will likely bring us another chance for some showers Sunday going into Monday, but we do not expect to see nearly the intensity of precipitation here as we are going to see in Canada. But that might change change with the next event, which comes along as we move into the middle part of next week. Monday, we'll have a little bit of snow impacting North Dakota and Montana, mostly the northern parts of the region, and it looks like everybody else will be relatively dry biased for a while. But rain will then develop as we get into Tuesday and Wednesday, and a deep low pressure system pushing across the region along with a frontal system will bring the winds around to the northwest and bring much colder air into the region that will create a little bit of rain and rain changing to snow as the storm system and associated frontal boundary pushes through the region. All of that, though, is midweek next week and leaving plenty of time for change. Afternoon temperatures today will still be turning cooler across many areas relative to yesterday's warmth. We'll expect highs today in the 30s and 40s in the western Dakotas, but the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota will see temperatures in the 40s and 50s. There will even be some 60-degree readings from the Sioux Falls area into southern portions of Minnesota. Tomorrow, we'll see the cooler air overspread even the easternmost parts of the region. Everybody will be in the 40s tomorrow with a few upper 30s in the northern part of Minnesota. On Saturday, we'll get a chance to warm up a little bit with temperatures getting into the 40s and 50s across many areas with a few lower 60s in southwestern South Dakota. But that will be the only day that will be warming up. We'll look for a return of cooler weather Sunday through Tuesday of next week. And eventually, the high temperatures are going to be cooling down to 20s and 30s in the west and 30s and 40s in the east, but that'll be during early to midweek. Nighttime lows will eventually slip into some teens and 20s next week, but we're not expecting to see a lot of cold air like that. We will see the western Dakotas, though, a bit colder tomorrow morning with a lot of teens and 20s. The eastern parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota will see 20s and lower 30s. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. CHS enjoyed record net income for the year of $1.7 billion. Revenues of nearly $48 billion was also a record. CHS President and CEO Jay Deberton says there were numerous factors at play.
One is just really strong global demands and opportunities for us, for the products and the services that we're involved with. Largely inputs into the planting the acre and then grain coming off the acre that we process ourselves, process with partnership with others, and ship to customers around the world.
Due to a very successful year, CHS plans to return $1 billion back to its member owners.
We'll do it in two different ways. One is the cash patronage we pay, and secondly is equity redemption. But it's all cash, and it's $1 billion that CHS is putting back to the people that own us. And you think about how that money can be invested in rural America and in the businesses of rural America. It's just tremendous honor to be able to do that. And frankly, it's the value of the cooperative system. And it was just an overall good year in so many respects. And when that happens, we're able to do this.
The corn and soybean markets have bounced off early this morning, off early morning lows, but continue to trade lower. Roy E. Abbott, Futures President Roy Abbott, says the grains remain range bound.
Probably going to stay in these trading ranges for the time being. We had some bearish news this morning from one of the analysts that predicts the crop size, but the market didn't seem to pay much attention to it. I think the focus will be on the USDA's report next Wednesday.
December wheat in Minneapolis currently trading down 2¾ cents, 9.47. March down a penny and a quarter. Chicago December wheat down 3½. Kansas City's 4 cents higher. Corn right now 6 to 7 lower. And soybeans are trading 15-16 lower. Canola $2.27 metric ton higher. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.